Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our greeting today is from Philippians chapter 4, where Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Today we hear Paul and God's call to rejoice. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many of you might say that there's not a whole bunch to rejoice about this year in 2020. School was canceled, but not just school. Really, the coronavirus canceled just about everything, from football games to graduations to family reunions, for quite a while, even just to get a cup of coffee with some friends. More than that, some people got sick, and some people we've known died from whatever reasons, and due to the problems we have, maybe we couldn't even gather to mourn together. The weather has given us a lot to worry about. There have been more storms than we expect. I think we're up to Delta now, with the hurricanes hitting the coast. And while we might have escaped the derecho and we avoided drought here, yet it's not far from our minds most of the time. We are anxious and worried and hardly have time to rejoice. And then got the wildfires. We're reminded of when they dimmed our skies a bit and the disaster that has struck in California. On top of that, it's an election year. We pretty much have nonstop talking about how someone only is not going to protect you. They're going to really sell you out to somebody else, some special interest. And that's pretty constant in everything we hear. It is a hard year to rejoice, one bad thing after another. And yet Paul says, rejoice. And you might be ready to tell Paul, you don't know what kind of a year I've had. But then maybe we can also consider the kind of year that Paul had. See, Paul wrote this letter where he says, rejoice, while he's in prison in Rome. When he was doing what was right, when he was spreading the good news, and he was in prison for it. And he says that he rejoices that the gospel is spread, even though, he says, some people are trying to spread the gospel, mostly to stir up trouble for him. And Paul is brought to where he's been considering his own death. He is long separated from those that he loves, where they have no ability to know how he is, or he how they are. And what he does here? Well, there are reports that the woman that he worked with, they're fighting with each other. That's Paul's situation. That was his year. It wasn't just things were bad in general. There were some things that we'd call it, well, that was pretty bad in particular for you, Paul. Yet Paul, led by the Spirit, still says, rejoice. How? How can he say rejoice in a year like that? How can we say rejoice in a year like ours? And we should know, because we could use some rejoicing. And Paul shows us how. And if we look at the whole text, he doesn't just say rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. He doesn't tell you, go look at your circumstances and they're all going to be good. At least not by the world's standards. At least not if you judge them by yourself. It might not be good to look at your bank account, at your harvest, at your day and how it went, to your spouses and children who you might have spent a long time locked up with, isolated with, or even worse, maybe you were isolated alone. It's hard to look at that and say we should rejoice, but Paul tells us, look to. Paul tells us to rejoice in Christ. And he says it again. Rejoice. Because he knows that God's people need to hear it. He echoes the words of the angels spoken the day Jesus came, who brought good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. He tells us to rejoice. To look beyond our circumstances. Because our circumstances do not define us. Instead, hear our Lord. Because our Lord defines us. And how does he define us? Well, he said that we were loved. Even when we were lost in sin, he told Adam and Eve that he would send the seed of the woman. He sent his son while we were lost in sin to die for us. That's how loved we were. That's how loved we are. Rejoice. Our God tells us that we are in his own. As he washes us in baptism, as he cleans us in that flood of grace where he unites us with himself. Rejoice. We are given the very name of God as we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We bear his name. We have become his children. And that is an act that can never be undone. And no matter what your circumstances, if you've been baptized, you can look and say, I became a child of God that day. And nothing that has happened in the world changes that. Rejoice. We have his word. It can never be broken. Telling us that we are redeemed children of God. Rejoice. And he gives us a spirit to speak to us, to remind us of all the promises that he's made, of the resurrection that he gives us in Christ, to tell us that we are God's children. Rejoice. And we can face circumstances that are hard to rejoice in. Truthfully, we can't necessarily even rejoice on our own. And yet, It is hard to rejoice on your own when you're alone in your troubles. But Paul doesn't tell us to rejoice on our own and alone. You see, Paul is in prison, largely alone, but he tells us that he's content in all circumstances, that in want or in plenty, he knows the secret of being content. He doesn't say rejoice alone. Instead, he says his secret is that the Lord is at hand in all circumstances. That as the Lord is at hand, he can do all things, even rejoice through him who strengthens him. Paul is not alone. You are not alone. Rejoice. And in fact, rejoice always. When we know God's word, when we stay in God's word and when the Spirit connects us to Christ through it, We rejoice, even in circumstances that we are not sure of. When we hunger, the Spirit reminds us that Christ hungered for us in the wilderness, that we would be redeemed. And suddenly we are connected to Christ even then, that the angels ministered to Him. We are not alone in our hunger. Rejoice. God even uses our hunger to let us see His Son. Rejoice. If we thirst, the Spirit reminds us of Jesus who thirsted on the cross, who wanted the wells of salvation to come, and who turned away from the gall that the world offered because He had a better drink coming. We're not alone in our thirst. Rejoice. And maybe we have plenty and we think that we can be satisfied with the things of the world, and yet the Spirit even reminds us then of the feast that God inaugurates on His holy mountain, where He swallows up death forever, where He brings salvation, where Christ died, but not only died, but rose 3 days later. And we remember Jesus' promise that He is the living water, and the water that flowed from His side when He was pierced. And know that we have been given more than the things of this world, that our joy comes from God Himself and His salvation. Rejoice. When we have a bad diagnosis, when we even face death, the Spirit reminds us of He who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, who carried His own cross to His death, who was raised on the third day, and promises that we too will be raised, that God shared our sufferings in Christ so that we would be raised to glory with Christ. We are not alone in our sufferings. We are not alone in plenty or want. Our God is with us. He brings us to Him. He brings us to rejoice. Christ carried His own cross as He went to die for us. In our troubles, as we remember that Christ carried His cross, we also carry the cross He gives us that reminds us of our connection to Him. We are united with Him who carries us and our sins. And He who bore our woe? Well, He bids us bear each other's. We can stand our woe because we have the Word. We have the sacrament. We have the consolation of the saints. We have the Spirit of God living with us. But as we have the consolation not that God gives in His Word, sacrament, Spirit, and even in the other saints, we also can give that consolation to others, that they too may rejoice. Our rejoicing is not alone. It is in the Lord. Our rejoicing is not alone, it is in the Lord, and it is one that we share with the other people. Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him, the salvation of the world. As we bear our crosses and share that word with others, we bear witness to the cross that Jesus carried, the one He died on. We look forward to that same joy of salvation, and we can share it with others, that they too may know the joy of the Lord. And we participate in that very joy when Christ shines in us. We sing the hymn, Joy to the World. And Paul tells us, rejoice. And we can because the Lord is at hand. God is with us in word and sacrament and tells us that they point to His coming again, where we'll see Him even more clearly. We have ample reason to rejoice. Even the sufferings He lets into our lives testify to God's grace. So rejoice even in sufferings. Rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord, my friends. And I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.